Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so Ferrell on the bench, hour two, 844-843-6879. Now, that's the number, by the way, to get on the show in case you're confused and you've never heard of an 844 number. It's toll-free. You don't have to pay. Free as me. All right, here's the deal. Mafia, I know you don't have Jerry's brackets in front of you.
I got it.
So you're looking at it? All right, even better.
I'm looking at it right now.
All right, so look at the Baylor region. And with that, you know, Baylor 1, Illinois 2, West Virginia 3, Tennessee 4. Let's just leave it at that. Vatek would be the 5, let's say, as an outsider. Okay, so when you look at that bracket, and although for our audience in San Diego, they have San Diego State in there as a 10, along with Utah State as a 12 from the same conference playing in that region. But I'm not putting either of those teams in the regional final. Do you think, because I said it'd be Baylor and West Virginia, who do you like in that?
I think Baylor's definitely one you have to put through just because of how dominant they've been. For me, that there's a couple different teams you could throw in there from that second bottom half of the bracket. I'm not going to go throw Florida. They're not, you know, consistent enough for me. West Virginia's tough. Like you said, they're always going to push the action. They're always going to be on you. They can play with anybody. Illinois has, you know, Coburn inside. And that could be a dangerous, you know, guy for some of these teams. But one dark horse I'd, you know, throw out there is Creighton showed against Villanova this week. They could play. And they have two guys that could just bomb. That's Zagorowski and Balak, those two guards they have. Those guys can just drain from anywhere. You know, that Balak can shoot from, like, you know, like Curry and these guys in the NBA can shoot from just over half court and make it somehow. So if those guys get hot, they could be one of those teams that makes a little bit of a run and then probably get snuffed out by Baylor.
So they are lucky in Jerry's bracket, Creighton, they wouldn't have to face Baylor unless it was in the regional final. So at the very least, that could get them excited. Let's go down below that to the Michigan bracket where the Wolverines are number one, Bama's number two, Oklahoma 3, Florida State 4, and Missouri would be the 5. And remember, tonight... I saw Florida State just kick Virginia's teeth in Tallahassee. I mean, they kicked their ass 6 ways till Sunday. Do you believe in what I said, which was Michigan and Oklahoma?
Yeah, I think those are definitely the favorites, but I wouldn't count out Alabama in that one either, though, because, I mean, you got a team that could put up 23 threes, or like we saw over the weekend, put up 115 points. I mean, that just tells you how deep they are scoring-wise, so it's going to be hard to shut that team down offensively. It's going to be, you know, what they can do defensively. If they can shut you down is the key because even though they blew out Georgia, they still gave up 80-something points to them. So they could be a dark horse, but Oklahoma is the better team down the bottom of that bracket.
So, yeah, you look at these games. Michigan would play James Madison. Anyway, I just – if Louisville is playing UConn, if that bracket were to line up that way, I still think Michigan would beat those teams. Missouri and the Gauchos of Santa Barbara, Florida State against North Texas. Missouri and Florida State would meet And then Rutgers is in that region. They'd play Loyola, Chicago. Oklahoma would play Greensboro. And then Purdue, Oregon would be a good game. And then Bama and Bryant would be a good game. We welcome all of our radio affiliates to Pharrell and Avench, including SiriusXM Channel 204, the Sports Grid Radio Network, our partners on satellite, and, of course, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. And then Sports Map Radio Network and Sports Byline USA Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. I'm Pharrell with Mafia tonight. All right, let's go to the other side. All right, so just for our radio audience, we've just we've gone through Jerry Palm's CBS brackets for just an initial look at the tournament. We've been friends with Jerry forever. We worked with Jerry at CBS forever, so we're using his picks. We also think Jerry has to deal with harsher weather and bigger egos at CBS than Joe Lunardi does at ESPN. That made no sense at all, but I ran with it. We like Jerry better, although we've tried to get Jerry in fist fights. We've tried to get Jerry drunk. We've tried to get Jerry to start gambling. He's having none of it. All right, so going I picked Baylor and West Virginia in one of his regions. I picked Michigan and Oklahoma in the
other. Get a hold of yourself.
Wow. And then let's look at the third one. Ohio State would be the number one, Nova 2. Virginia 3, Texas Tech 4, Clemson would be 5. In that one, I'm still feeling I actually picked the upset. Although I like Ohio State a lot, I think they're really tough and very deep and very physical and very big down in the paint. I think that the team that I think can beat them is Texas Tech, the 4 seed. So I think they can knock them off. And then I think it would open the door for Villanova, and I think the matchup will be in the semis of that region would be Virginia and Nova, and then Texas Tech and Ohio State, and Texas Tech would win and meet Nova, but we'll see how that goes. We'll ask Mafia what he thinks of that region and the Gonzaga region with Houston being the number 2 seed in that one. It's Pharrell and Avench.
There are 24 hours in every day,
1,440 minutes,
86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Base, how low can you go? Anyway, that was like a punk rock bass riff right there. So Ohio State in that region, Mafia, I said could be upset by Texas Tech. It's funny, like they have Clemson at 5, Jerry Palm, and I just do not buy that team whatsoever. You've seen them melt down in a bunch of games. They've had some success, fair enough. But, God, have they lost some ugly games. And he's got UCLA as a 9. Last week we were saying, I was saying UCLA should get in with, you know, the fact that they were both 9-2, USC and UCLA tied for the lead in the Pac-12, and then UCLA started losing games, Pullman, et cetera. And all I know is, like, you lose enough, and I say you don't get in. At the end of the season here, they're melting like an ice cream cone, but I think Texas Tech can beat Ohio State, and I think Baird's a great coach, and that McClung kid's tough as hell. And then I really, you know, I'm not on Virginia like everyone always is, Bennett's team. Like tonight they got just absolutely bent over in Tallahassee. So I'm not buying them. Like, I know Creighton beat Nova. I've seen Nova lose to St. John's. So I think anyone can beat anyone, but I still think when I look at that region, you know, I'm going to say Nova gets out of it. The only team that I would say, two teams that have upset potential, and maybe three, Arkansas, Colorado, and VCU in that region, Mafia. Now, I know you're looking at it, and that's all on the bottom side. So not all those guys like Arkansas, Colorado, and VCU can win. But if you look at it based on heavyweights, it would be Virginia and Nova. So I said, you know, Texas Tech and Nova. What do you think of that region?
Yeah, I agree with you to a degree. You know, I think Texas Tech definitely upset Ohio State. I think there's, you know, like you said, a lot of those teams up in the top half of the bracket. You know, I'm not buying Clemson. I think Toledo, that could be a 5-12, you know, upset there if that's how it works out. Xavier and UCLA both are, you know, inconsistent and ones you can't rely on. At the bottom, Wisconsin, Virginia, and Villanova, like the three you look at, like, oh, well, one of those has to come out, right? It's like, no, Nova has the pedigree, but they haven't been Nova this year. They've had that long layoff and then have struggled since at times.
Right.
Virginia, Wisconsin, we've seen them both lose. Virginia tonight. Wisconsin was up big on, you know, Michigan got blown that out. And they're a team that constantly, every time you bet on them, you know, falters at some point in the tournament. You think that they're going to finally do it this year, and then they flop and blow up your bracket. So I'm with you. I don't have faith in any of those. You know, maybe Villanova is the best of those ones, but I could definitely see it in Arkansas or Colorado sneak out of that bottom half and go play Texas Tech in that regional.
I could even see Toledo upsetting Clemson in the top half. I think Xavier will beat UCLA if they play him. And then I think Texas Tech can beat Ohio State, but I also think Belmont will give Texas Tech a game they won't forget. Like, you can't – nothing's easy. Like, that first game can be a mother-for-eller for teams. Like, getting through that first game, you know, can always be – against that low seed can be – you know, a problem. Low meaning a bad team, like a 13 through 16 seed. All right, so in the Gonzaga region, where they're number one, Houston 2, Iowa 3, Texas 4, USC 5, and they have Kansas at 6. Now look, I don't know if you're buying Houston for who they play throughout the season. They have Oklahoma State making this tournament with their problems with probation and everything and an appeal. But they're a 7. Look, I just don't think they're that good. I think they're average at best. I'll tell you what. Texas, I think, meets Gonzaga in that regional at the top half. And then in the bottom half, that's anybody's game. Kansas could be good enough to play, you know, they're going to play St. Bonnie, they're going to win. Then they're going to play Iowa, Colgate winner, and Kansas can beat Iowa. They can beat anybody. They just have had some tough games. I think they've had some tough games that they've lost. I know people enjoy watching them lose, but look, Indiana beat Iowa twice. So if you think Iowa's that good, all you have to do is say Indiana beat them twice. So Iowa is so overrated as a number three. It's not even funny if you ask me, because they lose games that they shouldn't even be discussing losing, let alone playing and losing. You know, they shouldn't have lost to Indiana twice. And then Houston, he's got playing, like, I think that's Grand Canyon, and Houston will kick their ass. I think Houston's better than all those teams. Oklahoma State, Western Kentucky, Iowa, Colgate, Kansas, St. Bonnie, in that half of the region. So I could see, you know, I could see Gonzaga and Houston meeting in that regional final. And if anyone's going to do it, I say it's Kansas. I know they haven't looked good, but they'll be ready in the tournament, and I think they'll be a tough out.
I agree that those two teams are probably going to be the ones that meet. I mean, Gonzaga, they're going to have a tough test if they have to face Texas. Texas is a good team this year. Shaka has that program playing really well, but I think Gonzaga, you know, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. We always try to, you know, pick the bigger team over them, thinking, oh, it's just these European players that they bring in, these foreign players. And, you know, when it comes to tournament time and they actually have to play tough teams and not just their weak schedule, they fold. Well, that's not the case anymore. They're getting some top program guys in there now. So they're legit. And I'm going to, you know, pick them to go towards the end of that and face probably Houston. I think I'm with you. Oklahoma State's, you know, pretty solid with Cade Cunningham. They're exciting, but I don't think they're good enough to beat a team like Houston. Houston's another small conference team that plays like a big conference team. They are a legit team, even though people don't give them enough respect. And, you know, Iowa, I'm not buying. Because when it comes down to the clutch time, and they should be just pounding into Garza and making them foul him every time and put him at the line and going for three-point plays, yeah, these guys, the guards outside are putting up, you know, three too often. And they're not good enough shooters to be running that team. It should be everything through Garza. Don't just run it through him for, you know, three quarters of the game. And then when you get to the last 5 to 10 minutes, all of a sudden these guys think, okay, now it's my time to shine. Go to the big man. It's all about him. Kansas, they're not playing in Kansas City this year. I'm not buying them. You know, if they were a strong team and they're playing at home, okay, you maybe have a couple games, get to the second, third weekend. Now they got to go all the way to, you know, the courts in Indiana and play when they're a mediocre team this year, not as good as they have been in the past. I'm not buying them. I think Iowa would beat them, and then Houston will take out Iowa.
Do you think if his play-in games are correct, he said he didn't think they would be, but do you think Seton Hall would beat Indiana?
That'd be a tough one for me. I mean, as a Pirate fan, I'd obviously want them to beat Indiana, but they are a team that has a lot of talent and can make a run if they put it together at any given point. But they just don't seem to have every guy on for a game. It's, you know, this guy and that guy are playing well today, and then this guy and the other guy are playing well. You know, Aiken's been the guy that they brought in from Harvard. He's supposed to be the big grad transfer. He's barely played this year. He's had injuries with his ankle, now his knee. You know, Mukhailishvili can be just a beast and hard for anybody to guard with his size and how well he can play, you know, inside out. But then sometimes he just gets too into himself and just taking up a bunch of bad shots. So do I think the Pirates could beat them? Yeah. But, you know, I've seen your Hoosiers beat better teams. I've seen them beat Iowa twice. So that could be a toss-up either way for me in that game.
Wow, he's got Minnesota and Drake. I think Minnesota would beat them. And then Prairie View A&M and North Carolina A&T would play. And then Wright State and Vermont. I think I like that Wright State team. They're always tough. And then I have no clue at all with Prairie View and North Carolina A&T. I have absolutely no clue. I'd have to delve deeper into those teams the week of the games to start deciding if I want to pick one of them and bet on one of them. It is what it is. At the half, the Clippers lead the Heat at Staples 67-62 with no Claw, no PG, no Beverly. What they've had in that game is Morris going off. I saw him before. He's got 26 points at the half for the Clippers. Jazz up 10 with 3 minutes to go on the Sixers and Salt Lake Shakers at the half. Warriors up 10 on the Cavs in San Francisco. And the Nets in the third, underway, up 4 on Sacramento at Golden One. So the Knicks are currently the number 6 seed in the Eastern Conference, if you can even believe it. And I think that if anyone wants to question whether or not Julius Randle's an All-Star, as if anybody cares about the All-Star game, I know that it's a problem to get up for the All-Star game when I actually have never been into it. I love the NBA. I love basketball. I love watching games. It doesn't matter who's playing. I'll even watch the worst teams in a league play. But I just, I've never been a fan of all-star games in any sport, to be honest with you. I think they all suck. But the deal is, I mean, I understand the desire to make it as a player to be an all-star. And then, you know, when they talk about guys' careers, they always talk about their all-star appearances and all-star MVPs and stuff like that. They you know, it's unavoidable. So, I mean, when I watch the Knicks and I watch any team, it doesn't matter where they play in the league, what city. If there's a guy on the team that's playing great and he's not automatic in terms of making the all-star game, I mean, the announcers talk about it. They, you know, call the game and they sell their guy. And it's no different in New York where they're trying to sell Randall as an all-star. And he's the first guy in franchise history ever to go 44-9-5 with 7 threes in a game ever. So tonight, he put on a performance for the ages. He did not you know, change anything. The guy just has been doing this every night. He'll have 30 points here, 26 there, 35, 44 tonight, 44, 9, and 5, and 7 3-pointers. That just locked him in to the All-Star game. You cannot have a performance like that. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care when it is, where it is. You go 44, 9, and 5 with 7 3s, and you're a big who they move into the 5 because Mitchell Robinson's out, and the guy drops 44, 9, and 5, I mean, with 7 3s. Give me a break. That's a done deal now. He's absolutely, unequivocally got to be an All-Star. That's it. I still won't care about the game, but not only do I think he should be in it and represent, but I think that I brought this up today on Coast to Coast. I brought it up on For All on the Bench. I brought it up on shows with Smitty, whatever, with whoever, no matter who I talk to. I don't think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about them trading him, Randall. Trade Randall for pieces. I mean, I honestly don't think that Leon Rose, I don't think he's that stupid. I don't. I think the guy knows what he's doing. I think he's smart. I think he's shrewd. I think he knows hoops. I think he's popular with players. And because of his role in agencies and the like. And I think that now that he's running the Knicks, I think he's too smart to get rid of Julius Randle. I just do not see any benefit whatsoever. They're already young. They're already the youngest team in the league. Every guy, he's 26, Randle. They treat him like he's 32. He's 26. He's got a lot of miles on his body because he's been playing nonstop since he came in the league. And I just think now, at 26, he has found his niche with the New York Knicks. I mean, honestly, he has become the entire scoring. He's the linchpin of the team. That's it. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe in him or not, whether you think he has game or not, is irrelevant because he does. And he has. He's been pouring it in. He's been dominant. He's done everything. Rebounding, passing, blocking shots, steals, playing Muko minutes. The guy's a stud. And he's 26. I see no benefit whatsoever in getting even younger and building draft picks or whatever. What are you going to trade for, you know, Julius Randle? What are they going to give you, a draft pick, a second-round draft pick? They're going to give you a player or two that suck for Julius Randle? I don't honestly, what is he, some, I don't think he's some high-priced, I want a number one draft pick and I want a starter. No, I don't think anyone's going to give him that. But I do believe that he is worthy of a deal with the Knicks. I think they should keep him, and I think they should give him 2 or 3 years. He'll be 27, 28, 29. I think his best years are right now. I think his window of peak performance, body, night-to-night grind, minutes, burn is right now. I don't think it's down the road when he's 31, 32. I think he'll be worn out. I think it's now. I think his window of excellence is now. I think he's performing. Right now, he's having the best year of his career. That's all there is to it. And it's because he's the featured attraction. There's no other stars on the team to take away his shine. I think the guy has become the go-to guy on the team. I think he's made everybody else play better. And, you know, I heard at the beginning of the year, Breen and Clyde saying, not word for word, but, you know, specifically saying he's sloppy, turnovers have been a problem, that he's teammates don't like him because he's a ball hog. I've heard that right out of their mouths. And, I mean, that's just all there is to it, that he, you know, doesn't feed. He just shoots, and he doesn't see the teammates, the floor. He's just ISO ball. And, I mean, to me, that's insanity because, you know, maybe, fair enough, maybe up until now, that's been who he is. But now, that's not who he is. Now, when I think of this guy, I mean, without a doubt, he's doing everything. 22, 11, and 5 boards. He's averaged 16 a game for his career. Now he's averaging 22.4. His career rebounds, 9. He's up to 11. His career dimes, 3. Now he's up to 5.6. He is literally doing everything. Blocks, steals, all up. Crazy. Career, 31. This year shooting 39% from 3. Career, 49 from the floor. Career, 73 from the line. This year, 80. So the field goal percentage is the same, but he's up in everything else. Up in threes, 8%. Up in free throws, 7%. I mean, that's hard to do. You understand? When you roll certain numbers every night, I've always said, if you average 15 a night in the NBA, it is not easy to do. And to go out every night and to put 15 in and get those 5 boards and 3 dimes is not easy to do. Every single night you have to do it. If you don't do it on one night, let's say one night you do and the next 2 nights you don't, your numbers drop. They drop. It's that simple. Percentages. Boom. You drop. So to keep up those percentages, you have to exceed that number every single night with everything you do just to keep them at the number that they're at. This guy has had a career year, a career year. He's an all-star without a doubt, and you're going to trade him? I understand. Trade him now. You can get something for him. No, you can't. Who's going to give you that much for Julius Randle? First of all, fair enough. You're going to be like, yeah, I know. He's having a career year. His numbers are all up. You got to give us something. They're still going to give you a number 2 and a player, right? And they're going to pick up his contract. But his contract isn't that bad. So I think they'd be stupid to get rid of him in this window of excellence and in this window of his prime. He is performing right now like you'll never see him perform again. He may not even... He may drop down from 22 back to 16 next year if they sign him. Who knows? But if he plays like he is now, let's say for 2 more years, let's say for 3 years he averaged 20-plus a game, who wouldn't take that 6 ways till Sunday? I mean, it's just automatic that you would take that. It's automatic. So I give the guy his due, put him in the All-Star game. Let's stop with all this other rhetoric. Clippers now trail the Heat, 6 left in the third, 76-75. The Heat have taken the lead. The Warriors' lead is 8 with 6.5 to go in the third at the Chase in San Francisco. And the Nets up 12 on the Kings with 4.5 to go in the third. Ben Simmons had a huge game tonight, but the Sixers still got whacked, and they didn't cover the 6.5. The Jazz win again. All they do is win. It is unbelievable. What is it, 19 of 20 now? That's crazy. Wizards beat up on the Rockets, the Bulls in overtime over the Pacers, and the Knicks by 11 over the Hawks at the Garden.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So just so you know, and I'm not even trying to play favorites here. East Coast, West Coast stuff. I'm not. I'm just talking about, you know, performances, guys going off. Harden's got a triple-double already, 26, 11, and 11. He's 9 of 14 from the floor, 5 of 7 from downtown. Kyrie Irving has 34, 4 and 2. He's 13 of 19, 7 of 9 from downtown. 34 points for Kyrie, 26, 11, and 11. The triple-double for the Beard. And they're kicking Sacramento's ass right now, 102-84, but there's a minute 52 left in the third. Anything's possible. And the Heat lead the Clippers 82-80 with 4 minutes left in the third. And obviously, Jimmy Buckets with 24, Adebayo 17-8, Tyler Hero Sandwich 17-4 boards with a dime, 2 threes in that one. Robinson has 3 threes in that one, but only 9 points in the game. Warriors 90-73 on the Cavs. And in terms of Curry, 34 with 7 threes. 34 points tonight on 13-17 shooting. Highlights upcoming later of Curry going off tonight. So there you go. Those are the three games that are on right now. So I wanted to talk, Mafia, about the hockey at the very least from tonight. And one of the games was so embarrassing. I don't know if they'll ever live it down. Now, I lost the bet on the Leafs. I had them over the Senators. The Senators suck. They do suck. And I cannot believe that a team that was 3-12-1 going in beat a team that was 11-2-2, right? And so now they were up 5-1. They were up 5-1 and win for the, I don't even know, for the first time, well, in franchise history, they've ever come back from 4 goals down. And they did it, I believe, in Toronto tonight, unless I'm mistaken. All right, so here's what happened. Matthews scored his 12th, made it 1-0. Boyd, 2-0. Batherson made it 2-1 for Ottawa. This is all in the first period. Second period, Engvall, 3-1 Toronto. Thornton, 4-1 Toronto. Matthews, power play goal, 5-1 Toronto. You got to be kidding me. And then Paul, a shorty for Ottawa with 9 seconds left in the period. 5-2. Go to the third. 40 seconds in, Zub, 5-3. 5:52 in, Brown, 5-4. And then with 2 minutes left in the game, Dadonoff ties it. And then he wins it in overtime. Dadonoff scores it from 2:19 in, 6-5. I mean, how do you lose that game? That is unbelievable to me. They got outshot. They did out-hit Toronto. They won more face-offs. They had less penalties. I guess that did it. But how crazy is that? You're down, 5-1, and then you score 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in a row. And the Leafs stood around watching it happen. That's just crazy. It really is. Matthews had 2 goals. But it didn't matter. They lost. You blow a 5-1 lead. You suck. Now, that's the question. I understand. I said this today on Coast to Coast. We talked about it. I talked about it with Dave Shane, who does Vegas Review Journal. And then we talked about it, Mafia, like that the Leafs are winning in that division only. They're winning in the Canadian division, which is not like playing everyone else in hockey and particularly the best teams in the East. They're playing maybe one team, two tops that are considered dangerous in the East, right? But for the most part, you know, or not even just the East, You know what I mean? Like, where they have to play in the playoffs is the East. So it doesn't matter what they're doing in the West. And now they're in this Canadian-only division. So they're winning all these games against, bottom line, average teams. There's only one or two teams that you can say up there that are dangerous at all, that are playing dangerous and playing good hockey. That'd be Montreal, right, would be one of them. And you tell me, Mafia, am I crazy? Like, so as far as the other ones, I would say, you know, I'm not afraid of Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, and Ottawa, to be honest with you. I know Winnipeg has 9-5-1, fair enough. Edmonton's 9-8-0. They lost again tonight at home. Edmonton's so inconsistent, so wildly inconsistent. I have no faith in them. The bottom line is Toronto and Montreal, at the end of the day, are the only two teams that matter in that division. I mean, am I wrong? Like, no one else is afraid of those teams. And then you look at the East, Boston, Philly, the Islanders, the Capitals, the Penguins. They're all tough. They're as good as Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, and Ottawa. I can guarantee you that. I think Toronto and Montreal, Boston. So four make it from each one, right? So Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, and Edmonton would make it right now. Boston, Philly, Islanders, Caps, and the Penguins tied with the Caps, and they just beat them. So I'm sure they'll do head-to-head and everything else when it comes down to the end of the season. But there's just way better teams, in my opinion, in the East. And then in the Central, I said today Tampa and Carolina are the two best teams, even though Florida is tied with Carolina and Chicago now. They all have 20 points, and Tampa has 21. So, and Columbus has 18. So all those teams are playing winning hockey. Even Columbus is 7-6-4. They all have winning records, all of them. So the Penguins, 7-5-1 is the cutoff in the East because the Rangers have a losing record. Devils haven't played enough. The Devils have a winning record, but they haven't played enough games. They've been out with the COVID. And Buffalo's one game under 500 as well, 4-5-2. So it is what it is. The Islanders beat them tonight. But, Mafia, I don't know about you, but you cannot lose a 5-1 lead to the worst team in hockey is either, what? Is it Ottawa? Is Ottawa or Detroit the worst team in hockey? They both have four wins. So it's those two. Detroit and Ottawa are the worst teams in the league. That's all there is to it. And you blow a 5-1 lead on home ice against Ottawa. How do you ever live that down, Mafia?
Yeah, that's absolutely embarrassing. I mean, we talked about it on the show on Coast to Coast earlier about how weak that division is. I mean, you get four teams in from it, you shouldn't. You should get two, maybe three at best. It's pretty pathetic. And that's why Toronto's looking great. That's why Montreal's playing great. You know, they're looking better than they are because they're playing just those teams. And Ottawa got all excited to begin the season because they beat Toronto in that first game. And then they've lost 13 of 15 before this one. That's how bad this team is. 13 of 15 they have lost. And Toronto's up 5-1, and somehow you let them come back. And you know what? Now Ottawa's won 2 out of 3 against Toronto so far this year with that win in the first one. So that's just pretty pathetic. I mean, that's just a team thinking they have it in the bag, completely coasting. And that's been Toronto for a long time, you know, that they think they're just better than everybody. And they can just get by scoring goals, and that's it. They forget that they have to play on both ends of the ice. And it always burns them in the playoffs and late in the season. So, once again, this is just Toronto being Toronto, just a lot earlier than expected.
So, the Islanders beat the Sabres tonight. First game they played in 2 weeks, the Sabres. And they come out at home, lose. Islanders beat them. Lee, Pageau, make it 2-0. Olofsson makes it 2-1. Buffalo scores 1:40 into the second. In the right around 10 minutes, Brock Nelson, a power play goal. That made it 3-1. That's how it ended. No goals in the third period. Another win for the Islanders, who are 7-4-3 now. Big win for them. And then I think I got to see when. Maybe it's they're playing the Sabres again tomorrow night in Buffalo. So they played them tonight, and they beat them. And now they play him again tomorrow night. So the Sabres suck too, as usual. They really do. And then this afternoon, a day game, and I hit this one too. Oh, by the way, I hit the Coyotes, 1-0 of the Blues, hit the Islanders, lost the Senators game, hit the Canes game, hit the Blackhawks game. As far as going on right now, after two periods, the Flames lead in Vancouver 3-2 over the Canucks, and the Ducks trail the Sharks 2-1 in the second period, 10 minutes left in San Jose at the Shark Tank. The Canes beat the Jackets 7-3. I told you today on Coast to Coast, I came right out with it. I think the Blue Jackets are overrated as usual. They're always talking about Tortorella and the Blue Jackets, and they never end up doing anything. And then I said, flat out, I said, Carolina's better than them, and they're the second-best team in that division. And they win 7-3. McGinn, 2 goals, 2 assists. Teravainen, 1 goal, 3 assists. Bean, 2 assists. They had it all going. Aho scored. Stahl scored. Niederreiter had a power play goal. Stahl had a couple of goals, 5 and 6. The second one was a power play goal that made it 7-3. That's impressive. And I keep telling you, Carolina. So Florida beat, Florida was a winner tonight, but Carolina wins as well. They got 10 wins first. They're both tied with 20 points. But the Panthers with the big win tonight over the Lightning, that's huge. Barkov, 1 goal and 1 assist. Stamkos came back. He scored. Huberto scored. Tippett, Vetrano, Duclair, Barkov, the goals. And then for Tampa, Stamkos, Volkov again, and Tyler Johnson. But then Strawman iced it. They were up 5-4, Florida. They were up 5-2. Then it was 5-3, 5-4 after the Volkov and Johnson goals. But then Strawman scores 1 minute into the third, and that iced it 6-4. The Panthers are unbelievable. 6-4 winners, 9-2-2 on the season, and no one gets to go to their games. Or maybe they do let them in the hockey game now. They let them in everywhere else in Florida, don't they, Mavi? I think they're actually letting some fans into the Panther games.
Probably. They're going to let them
into
the
hockey games. Right, but they can't enjoy their second-best start ever in franchise history. Blackhawks beat the Red Wings in overtime, and the Jets, winners over the Oilers, 6-5 in Edmonton. Oilers are so inconsistent. Shifley with 1 goal and 2 assists. He had a power play goal for the Jets and an assist on Blake Wheeler's game winner, 6:22 into the third as they beat the Oilers in Edmonton. Nugent Hopkins had a good game, 2 goals for the Oilers, but it didn't matter. They lose again. Now, that's it for hockey. As far as the NBA goes, I just wanted to say the Nets are just beating the snot out of the Kings. 122-98, 7 minutes left. I've already told you the damage plan. 37 for Kyrie, including 8 threes. Harden's got a triple-double, 26, 13, and 14. He's absolutely dealing. And he's
on fire.
Yes, 5 threes. They have everybody going. Tyler Johnson off the bench, a couple threes. TLC, Luau Cabarrot with 2, Shamet with 3, I mean, Harris with 2, Green with 2. They are dealing 60% from downtown. And the Warriors, 101-86 over the Cavs. Just keeping an eye on your boy, Curry, 36 and 7 threes. And then the Clippers have taken the lead back from the Heat, 98-93 Clippers, despite Butler's 24, Morris has 28, Zubats 16, Coffee and Tea 15, Sweet Lou 11. He will not hit that over 23 Mafia. And your boy, man, how could I be the man if you're the man with 11? Ibaka with 7 and 9 boards. There you go. College Rack, you know the deal tonight. Florida State smack Virginia 81-60. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. East. We're going to hear from allegedly the Daytona 500 winner on the show tomorrow. Good night, everybody.